Thank you for your patience. Please stay connected and the conference will begin shortly. Thank you. Hello and welcome to the full year results 2020 business update and update on the clinical development plan of TG4001. My name is Stefano and I will be your coordinator for today's event. Please note this conference is being recorded and for the duration of the call your lines will be on listen only. However, you will have the opportunity to ask questions at the end of the presentation. This can be done by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad to register your question. If you require assistance at any point, please press star 0 and you'll be connected to an operator. I will now hand over to your host, Lucie Larguier, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefano. So I'm Lucie, in charge of IR at Transgene. Together with me are Hedi Ben Brahim, chairman and CEO of Transgene, Jean-Philippe Del, chief financial officer, and Maud Brandley, chief medical officer, so on this call. Before I turn the call over to Hedi, I'd like to remind everyone that today's discussion contains forward-looking statements which are subject to numerous risks and uncertainties. This presentation and the webcast can be accessed via the investor page of our website, transgene.fr, and via the press release issued today. If you're listening to this webcast via the internet, you will not be able to ask questions. If you wish to ask questions, please make sure that you join us via the conference call numbers that are available in today's 2020 financials press release. With this short introduction, I now turn the call over to Hedi Ben Brahim.
Thank you, Lucy, and welcome, everyone. I'm very happy to be here today to discuss Transgene business update and provide you some perspective on our future goals. So, as you know, I officially joined the company at the beginning of the year, after more than 2 years as a board member, and I've enjoyed a very smooth transition with my predecessor, Philippe Archinard. The last weeks and months have been truly exciting. I've joined really very talented teams within Transgene, and their great efforts have paid off in a very successful 2020 year for the company and prepare a great 2021. In 2020, Transgene has made remarkable progress with our new technology platforms, our clinical pipeline, and at the same time, we have strengthened our financial position. All of this has been achieved despite the challenges that we continue to face as a result of the unprecedented COVID-19 situation. In January 2021, we have had the first patient in France with TG4050, our individualized cancer vaccine based on our cutting-edge MyVac platform. This achievement follows the treatment of a first patient in the US during the fall of last year. The pace of patient recruitment we have seen in these studies makes us confident that we will be able to share the first data with you from the TG4050 trials before the end of this year. In the fall of 2020, we announced positive results with TG4001, which allowed the more rapid start of an expanded randomized phase 2 study that Maud will provide details of later in this call. BT-001, the first oncolytic based on our Invario platform has recently entered the clinic, and the phase 1 trial is currently including patients in France and in Belgium and enjoying a very good start. We also obtained first results on TG6002 that provide a highly encouraging data on the viral backbone that form the basis of our new generation of oncolytic virus based on our exciting Invario platform. It also shows that these oncolytic viruses could be administered via IV, which would greatly increase their utility. Finally, regarding our finances, we've sold a part of our stake in Tasly Biopharmaceuticals for more than $22 million, which secures our cash horizon until 2022. I'm convinced that our commitment, our focus on novel immunotherapies based on our world-leading technologies and our knowledge in viruses and answering very significant medical needs will allow us to achieve several milestones in the next 18-24 months. As you are well aware, our core expertise is based on optimized viruses that have demonstrated their capability to stimulate the patient's immune system. We have evolved this expertise, and we've created two edge technology platforms. Based on our deep understanding of the vaccinia viruses, we can design either therapeutic vaccine or oncolytic viruses. The strains that we used have been used in the past for prophylactic vaccination, so they have demonstrated a very strong safety profile. They also have demonstrated that they can induce a strong and sustained immune response, which is key for the success of our candidates in terms of treating cancer. On the top of the slide with therapeutic vaccine, we educate the immune system against a specific tumor characteristic. MyVac is an individualized immunotherapy platform, and the MyVac-derived products are designed to target the patient's own cancer-specific genetic mutations. This strategy triggers an optimized immune response that stimulates the patient's immune system through multiple mechanisms. Oncolytic viruses are engineered to replicate within the cancer cells and deliver anti-cancer therapies in the tumor. With our Invario platform and our patented virus strains, we have already developed two highly innovative candidates, TG6002 and BT-001. Globally, both of our platforms aim to produce multiple candidates able to trigger tumor cell death and enlarge the immune response and repertoire. As a result, we think that we are confident in their potential to effectively target multiple solid tumors. Going to the next slide, we have an overview of our diversified portfolio and the numerous important milestones that are expected in the coming 24 months. I would like to start to discuss first our MyVac platform, which is able to generate our individualized neoantigen vaccines and take the treatment of each patient's tumor to a new level. I would like really to highlight the pace at which we have developed this world-leading technology. It's been very impressive. In less than 3 years, we have found a new, fast, and innovative way to vectorize neoantigens and create a personalized therapy. We have set up a GMP production unit, which has been validated by the authorities. We've obtained the clearance from three major health authorities to launch our clinical trials. We've included and treated the first patients with an individualized treatment in two phase 1 trials. For the proof of concept for MyVac, we are focused on indication with a moderate tumor burden. It is important for two reasons. The first one is that there are numerous mutations which result in neoantigens, so they are ideal to demonstrate the importance of the neoantigen production systems we are using. The second is that in these indications, checkpoint blockers have so far demonstrated limited efficacy, and TG4050 can thus be administered as a single agent. So we've been very ambitious, and we've launched from scratch two trials with TG4050. They are co-funded by NEC, our Japanese partner, and also supported by the French authorities, BPI France. The first clinical trial is enrolling patients in ovarian cancer, and the TG4050 is administered when the patient is in remission, but still has a very high risk of relapse. And the first patients have already received the treatment. Our second trial follows the same logic, but it is randomized. It is enrolling patients with head and neck cancers, and that will have first have received, so the first they will receive TG4050, or they will be monitored until the relapse, and then they will get the standard of care, which includes checkpoint blockers. So this unique setup for the clinical trials will demonstrate the potential of TG4050 as a single agent. Here again, the first patient received the treatments, and we've already have many more patients behind. The pace of the patient recruitment in this study is progressing as anticipated, and we expect to communicate the first data in the fourth quarter of the year. This will be a really great milestone for the company, I'm sure. Please note that we've put in place an extensive translational research program. So we are leveraging the patient genomic data to identify patient characteristics that could better predict the chances of success of our therapy. This novel analysis will be particularly useful to better target our next developments and accelerate the future developments of TG4050. Our goal is to leverage this comprehensive data set to trigger partnering discussions and out-license our novel immunotherapy, TG4050. I now turn over the call to Maud, who will provide an update on our promising clinical trial that we are launching with TG4001.
Thank you very much, Eddie. So I am going to share with you the promising clinical results we obtained in patients with HPV-16 positive cancer, and then to provide you with details about our plan or future plan for phase 2 trial. So TG4001 is a therapeutic vaccine which encodes E6 and E7 antigens from the HPV-16. And is indicated in the treatment of patients with HPV-16 positive cancer. And we have defined some interesting features to target the best population which can benefit from this treatment. So on the next slide, you have the main results we obtained by combining TG4001 with Abelumab, which is an anti-PD-L1 from Merck Pfizer. So overall, we treated 34 patients who were heavily pre-treated, who had metastatic HPV-16 cancer, including oropharyngeal and mostly anogenital cancer. Overall, we got an interesting response rate of 23.5%. And if we focus on the 23 patients who did not have liver metastasis, we end up with an impressive objective response rate of 34.8% and a median progression-free survival of 5.6 months, while in patients with liver met, it was only 1.4 months. This includes one complete response, which is durable, and seven partial responses. And indeed, this compares very favorably, which has been reported with ICI, with only a response rate in the range of 10 to 15% and a median PFS around 2 months. So moving then to the durability of response, which is illustrated here on the spider plot. You can see that the response are there, not only there, but also durable. And we have a response now in patients for more than 3 years, so it's quite impressive. And this is associated with the induction of specific immune response against HPV antigen, and also with change in the tumor microenvironment. So we observe a shift from cold to hot tumor with an increase in lymphocyte infiltrate and higher expression of PD-L1, which is the rationale for combining our therapeutic vaccine with an anti-PD-1 or an anti-PD-L1. And all those results, I forget to mention, but you, I'm sure you remember, have been presented by the end of last year at the SITC and the ESMO EO Congress. So moving then to our next trial, so what we decide, and this was strongly supported by our investigator, which of course are very enthusiastic about our results. So we decided to expand the trial, to amend the trial, so that we focus on patients who got the best response, so patients with anogenital cancer, indeed with recurrent metastatic disease, treated in first or second line, so the disease is less advanced than in the first phase of our phase 2, which allowed up to 2 prior lines of systemic chemotherapy, no prior exposure to immunotherapy, without liver mets. So we have seen the major impact of liver mets on the disease outcome, and whatever the level of PD-L1 expression, meaning that we will characterize the expression, but we are not going to select the patient on the basis of this expression. So then, this population of patients with advanced anogenital cancer represent a significant subset of patients, so around 25,000 new patients per year, and which deserves are young patients with a poor outcome with the current therapy, including mostly radiotherapy combined with chemotherapy. No immune checkpoint inhibitor has been approved so far in first line. The only approval has been pembrolizumab in second line in cervix cancer, but only in the U.S. for the time being. So there is an obvious medical need. So what are we going to do now? So we need a strong demonstration of the benefit of adding TG4001 to avelumab, and for this purpose, we have decided to set up a randomized trial, so in the population which I just described, and we will randomize the patient in a 1-to-1 ratio to the combination of TG4001 plus avelumab versus avelumab single agent. The primary endpoint will be progression-free survival, and of course we will look at as a secondary endpoint to overall response rate, overall survival, and also immunological parameters. So what is the plan is to perform an interim analysis when an approximate number of 50 patients will be enrolled. And this will provide us the results by the end of 2022. So then this trial has been already submitted to health authorities in the form of an amendment in the country where the initial portion of the trial has been conducted, in France and Spain. And we are expecting feedback from both authorities in April. And as a new protocol, because we expand the number of countries involved in the trial to the U.S., and we have already obtained the clearance of the protocol from the FDA. And so that's we in turn we expect, and I cross my finger because of course you know that COVID is there, but we believe that we will be in a good position to start first accrual in May 2000 this year 2021, And again, the aim is to have the data from the interim analysis by the end of 2022. And this is, of course, very important because based on the results, we will be in a good position if the interim analysis is positive to discuss with health authorities how to move forward for a registration trial and, of course, to discuss with potential partners.
Thank you very much, Maud. We are very excited by this new step for TG4001 that we are opening today. Now, if you're okay, let's move to Invirio. So you are familiar with our patented virus. That's the vaccinia virus Copenhagen double deleted, which is the foundation of our Invirio oncolytic virus. It has designed to have the multiple mechanism of action. The three main ones is the direct lysis of the cancer cell. It's the induction of a durable immune response and the capacity to deliver a therapeutic payload right into the tumor. One of the major advantages of vaccinia viruses is that they can be administered via multiple routes, which overcome the IT administration's limitation of most oncolytic viruses. So we'll start with BT01. BT001 is the perfect illustration of the potential of our Invirio platform, and it has entered the clinic very recently, earlier this year. This virus encodes for BioInvent's anti-CTLA-4 antibody and GM-CSF. It's using, like we said, our Copenhagen double-deleted strain. It's been designed to combine the very powerful activity of the anti-CTLA-4 designed by BioInvent, which depletes the T-regs and increases the immune response competence of the tumor with the induction of the immune system. We expect it to show a better tolerability profile that regular anti-CTLA-4 administered via systemic routes. We've shown remarkable data at two congresses in 2020, AACR and SITC. We were really excited to see a very strong anti-tumor effect in several mouse models. That really underlines the potential for BT001 in several solid tumors. We've shown this graph at SITC for the first time, and you see on the top that by injecting the virus in one tumor, we can induce the shrinking of the injected tumor, that the picture on the top right, but also it can induce the disappearance of a distant tumor, that the one on the top left. And that's key to show that our oncolytic virus are able to stimulate the immune system globally and induce a selective response against tumor cells in the injected lesion and in distant tumors. Based on this great preclinical data that we've seen, We have initiated a phase 1-2 trial in Europe. It has started a few weeks ago, and it is enrolling patients. We will evaluate the intratumoral injection of BT001, first as a single agent, and then in combination with pembrolizumab. This trial will allow us to identify rapidly generate data in combination with a checkpoint blocker and identify the most promising indication. Going to the next slide, you can see the recent progress of TG6002. This candidate targets patients with cancer that are sensitive to the chemotherapy agent 5-FU. This represents roughly 200,000 patients receiving a second line of treatment for colorectal cancer with liver metastasis. The initial data we obtained last year demonstrate that the oncolytic virus is able to reach the tumor when administered via IV route, and that TG6002 induced the production of 5-FU directly in the tumor as we targeted. So these results, of course, confirm the safety of TG6002 in this setting. We will be presenting the details of this data at the upcoming AACR 2021 Congress. So please watch out for that. We will also communicate data on the other trial evaluating TG6002 when administered via the intrahepatic artery in Q3 this year. All these elements provide really highly encouraging data for TG6002 and for the viral backbone that form the basis of our novel oncolytic viruses that are developing within our Invejo platform. I will now hand over to Jean-Philippe, who will walk us through the financial results.
Thank you, Eddie, and hello, everyone. Our P&L for 2020 was in line with our expectations and reflect that we allocate most of our resources for strategic clinical and preclinical operations. Revenues stood at 9.9 million euros in 2020, with a research tax credit amounted to 6.3 million euros and 2.9 million from our collaboration with AstraZeneca. Operating expenses decreased at 33.9 million euros in 2020, with a reduction of R&D expenses, as we were mostly initiating trials and reduced the external expenses related to the manufacturing of clinical batches. The rest of the expenses remain stable. Overall, the net operating loss remained under control at 24 million euros. The net financial income amounted to 6.8 million euros in 2020, thanks to the financial gain related to the partial sale of Tasly shares in July 20. And as a result, our total net loss amounted to 17.2 million euros in 2020. Let's look at the details of our R&D expenses. They decreased to 27.3 million euros in 2020, compared with 31.4 million in 2019. This decrease is due to lower external expenses on clinical projects in 2020, reduced from 10.9 million euros in 2019 to 5.4 million euros in 2020. And this is explained by the clinical stage of our product portfolio in 2020, and by the reduction of subcontracting manufacturing of clinical batches. As a result, you can see on this slide that our cash burn over the year was reduced to 17 million euro in 2020, compared to 20.5 million in 2019. This cash burn includes the net cash inflow of 18.2 million from the sale of Tasly Biopharmaceutical shares in July 20. This transaction enabled the company to early repay the 10 million euro bank loan from the European Investment Bank, saving approximately 0.6 million euros in interest. Our cash and cash equivalents at the end of 2020 stood at 26.3 million euros. And in addition, we still have access to a credit line of 15 million euros and still holds Tasly Biopharmaceutical shares valued at 32.3 million euros at the end of December 20. These figures secure our cash horizon until 2022, and we believe that these financial resources will allow Transgene to clearly demonstrate the power of its novel immunotherapies. With that, let me now turn the call back to Hedy.
Thanks, Jean-Philippe, for the financial update. So before the Q&A, let me conclude with our outlook. So today, we've shown you our clear strategy, and we will execute it effectively. I think we have really two very exciting years ahead of us. Each of the four of our clinical products will have readouts in the coming 2 years. We'll have TG6002 in Q2 and Q3. Then, at the end of the year, will be TG4050 by back. Then in early 2022 will be BT001, and in the second half of the year will be TG4001 that we are launching right now. So thanks to our funding covering our plans until next year and the progress we've seen and the exciting clinical trials we have, we are very confident in Transgene's future. We hope that the upcoming trials will allow us to negotiate licensing agreements, reflecting the fair value and the potential of Transgene portfolio immunotherapies, then generating significant value for our shareholders. Thank you very much for listening to us. Let's now move to the Q&A.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question or make a contribution, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, please press star 2. You will be advised when you can ask your question. Our first question comes from the line of Arsène Goukan from Kepler Cheuvreux.
We don't hear you.
Sorry, I was on mute. Hello, sorry. What do you expect in terms of cash burn for 2021? This is my first question, if I may. Second question, more clinical. On TG4001, could you give us more explanation or more color? Why do you choose anogenital cancer? Maybe it was in order to have less competition. This is the first. Second question. Another one also related to TG4001 is what the aim of the interim analysis? Is it a futility analysis? And what this kind of results could give you either for a partnership or to pursue the clinical trial? And the last one is on BT-001. You start the clinical trial in Europe in solid tumor. Could you give us an update regarding the extension in the US? Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for this great question. So let's have Jean-Philippe answer on the financial, and we'll have Maud start on the clinical answers.
Cool. So hello, Arsène. So regarding the cash burn for 2021. With our basic scenario, we can consider that we will have a cash burn above 2020 cash burn, knowing that we had this exceptional financial gain with the sale of Tasty shares in 2020. So with that, we can consider that it would be in the range of 25 million euro or around 25 to 30 million euro, depending on the on what could happen in revenue in this year.
Okay.
So regarding TG4001, so indeed we have selected anogenital cancer because you can say competition, but I will say medical need, because indeed for the time being what is approved for this kind of cancer is only standard chemotherapy, radiotherapy at an earlier stage. And as I mentioned, only immunotherapy which was approved and only in cervix cancer is pembrolizumab in the US in the second line treatment of cervix cancer. And with only in patients with expression CPS more than 1% expression of PD-L1, with an objective response rate of 14%. Indeed, there is a major improvement which are expected in this kind of cancer. So this is really the reason why we select anogenital cancer, and on the top of that, as you know, in head and neck, there is a much more therapeutic option with the approval of pembrolizumab in first line. So the patient can now benefit much more of immunotherapy than before. Regarding the aim of the interim analysis, it's not a futility analysis. Actually, the phase two is designed with an adaptive design, so that the objective of the interim analysis is to adjust the sample size of patients to be enrolled in the next step, according to the results of the interim analysis we can obtain. So on average, we may end up with a total of 140 patients, for instance.
Okay, just to be sure, could you give me more explanation about the adjustment that you could made based on this interim analysis? I'm not sure to have caught what you have said.
Yeah, I would be happy to do so. So I am not going on to enter into the details of the statistical design, but to make things simple. So we calculate the conditional power based on the difference we will observe between the two arms, and see if the difference is huge, we can end up with simply saying that we reach the goal, we have observed a statistical significant difference, so that's it. If the difference is less important, we need more patients to reach statistical significance. So it's really the difference we will observe in terms of median PFS, which will drive the decision to on the number of additional patients to be included in after the interim analysis. Is it clear?
Okay.
Is it clear for you?
Yeah. If I understand. Well, it's a step in order to fine tune the number of patients you will need for this clinical trial.
Exactly.
In order,
to reach a statistical.
To reach, yeah, okay. Okay.
That's what the health authorities are expecting, actually.
Okay, thanks.
And for BT-001, indeed, we are contemplating an expansion to the US, and the plan is to file an IND. In April this year.
April, okay. Perfect, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Bastien van der Schoot from Kempen. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, can you hear me?
Yes. Hi Bastien.
Hi. Thank you for taking my questions. First I have a couple on the TG4001. The first one is whether the results of the phase 2 could be enough for regulatory submission. And then, as a follow-up, you also mentioned that you will include all levels of PD-L1 patients in your trial. Will you also stratify these patients so that in both arms there's the same amount of subset of patients with similar PD-L1 levels? And does this also mean that patients without PD-L1 expression will be recruited in the avelumab-only arm? And then another question, TG4001. Do I understand correctly that the interim analysis will be then used on a specific number of patients and not on time, but will you first recruit, let's say, 70 of the patients and then do the interim analysis? And then for my last question is the financial. Can you remind us of the Tesly stake situation? What is the remaining value of the Tesly stake and when will you be able to have access to that?
So maybe I will address the question on TG4001 and then Jean-Philippe will answer regarding Tesly. So are our current phase 2 data enough for submission? Well, they are beautiful, but we really need to to convince the authorities because it's a combination regimen. To show that the avelumab used alone is not doing all the job. We have historical data which shows that not only from avelumab but also from other ICI showing that the results are much, much, much lower than what we have observed. But to be on the safe side, we really need this comparison to be convincing enough for registration purpose. Well, to make it clear, we will enroll all patients with any expression of PD-L1. So we are not going to select patients on the level of PD-L1 expression. And indeed, among the responder, we observe patients. We are PD-L1 negative, so we have not observed any correlation between response and the level of expression of PD-L1. Having said that, we will still characterize, because this is something you ask and everybody asks when you use an ICI, we will characterize at baseline the level of expressions, that's for sure. The stratification will be performed, but not on PD-L1, on the primary tumor location. So we will stratify because among anogenital cancer, you understood that you have different location, including anal, cervix, vulvar, vaginal, penile cancer, meaning that we will stratify the primary location to make sure that there is a right balance between the two arms in terms of primary location. Regarding the interim analysis, it requires indeed an approximate number of 50 patients, but meaning that those patients will be followed for a sufficient period of time to see when they progress, because as I mentioned, the primary endpoint is progression-free survival. So meaning that we will need an approximate or an average a follow-up of, let's say, 4 months to make sure that we have captured enough events, and the number of events based on our statistical calculation estimate is 37. So actually, the interim analysis will be performed when we will have 37 events, meaning progression, among those 7 patients, which will need to be followed enough. And the longer will be, the better.
Yes.
So regarding the Otasli stakes, so we still have shares of this company that were booked at the end of December 2020 at 32.3 million euros, so corresponding to the transaction price of the deal we had in July 2020. Today, we have to wait until the IPO of Tasly before being able to sell those remaining shares. And as you remember, we will have a 12-month lockup between the IPO and the date when we will be able to sell those shares. So it means that we are depending on on this timing of their IPO, and it will probably not occur before mid 2022.
Great, thank you, guys.
The next question comes from the line of Jean-Jacques Le Fur from Bryan Garnier. Please go ahead.
Good evening, and thank you for taking my questions. I have three, actually. So the first one, probably for Maud, regarding the liver metastasis in this new the population you've chosen for the TG 4001 phase 2, could we have a sort of percentage of liver metastasis, because I understood from the call we had during SITC with you that these metastases were more frequent with anal cancer. So I don't know if it's the same for vaginal or cervical cancer. So what could be the percentage of liver metastasis with these cancers? The second question is regarding TG4050. Which type of data could we expect in Q4 2021, end of this year? And lastly, for AD, it is now a few months or a few weeks you join Transgene. So it's a sort of classical question. What do you have changed since you arrived, or what do you want to change on a strategic point of view in the next few weeks, months, or years? Any thanks?
Thank you.
So starting with Libermed, so actually the answer is not easy because indeed the incidence is greater in anal, but it's not trivial in cervix or vulvovaginal cancer. Having said that, the reason why I am not giving you numbers is because it depends on the time course of the cancer. I mean, in the phase two part where we treated patients who received, were treated in third, even in fourth lines, so the meaning they have received two or three prior lines of chemotherapy for their metastatic recurrent disease. Of course, the proportion of patients with liver met, you have seen, we have 11 among 34 is in the range of 20-25%. But if we now move, and you have seen that we allow now only one line of prior treatment for recurrent metastatic disease, meaning that this incidence of liver met will drop, because clearly the evolution of this cancer is to have more and more organ involved, and indeed liver met is an issue and is really the way those patients are usually unfortunately dying. So that's for liver met. Regarding TG4050, so what we will have by the end of this year is for sure, and which is pretty important, is immunogenicity data, meaning that what we are looking for, because we are of course collecting a lot of samples, is to determine induction of CD8 response to each of the neoantigen we have selected and injected to the patient via the therapeutic vaccine. We will also have a look to the clinical behavior of patients. So we will have a full set of data on a handful of patients.
Thank you. So for my part, I would say my first goal is really that it's well understood inside the company and outside the company of the dramatic change that Transgene has really gone. In Virio and MyLac, I think were communicated, but probably not fully understood and not yet a reality. But now we have the first patient who have received our Invirio treatment. MyVac, a year ago, was still a dream. Now it's a reality with the first patient treated with several tens of production lot batches here in Ilkirch. So that's really a reality that's pretty recent. And I think I have to repeat that message, and it's getting to be really, really understood. Of course, we have also a big asset of TG4001, which is entering a really exciting and very smart new trial. So these assets are extremely strong, and I think they are better recognized now. So my first goal is really to make that message heard, and I will hammer it. Second, I think we need more exposure in the United States. Of course, we are well known in Europe. We have a strong knowledge of China, but we must be better known in the US. And of course, COVID didn't help last year, but when travel will begin again, I think we will accelerate on that. I want to accelerate also on the business development side. It's clear that our business model is to sell our products through license at a certain stage. Some of our products, we can push them forward quite late, such as TG4001, which is now in randomized phase two. But some assets, I think we can catch a lot of value, even if they are very young. And I think that, for example, TG4050 is part of that. This will not happen by chance, but this will happen with a comprehensive plan, really to develop this asset, make it known on the market, and then out-license it in a way that will create a lot of value for the shareholder. Also, we are working on the next generation of products. I think it's we have really exciting 4 products in clinic. We are pushing them. We will bring value from these products, but we will not stop there. We will come with new products, even if they will be there maybe in 2 years, in 3 years, and so on. We are already working on that. So we are revisiting the plan. Of course, it's more hidden work, but that's still pretty important. So this is my priorities that I've been focused on, and I will continue in the coming years.
Okay, thank you.
We have currently no questions on the line. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. There are no further questions on the line.
All right, so thank you much for your time listening to us and this great conversation, and thanks to your questions. So to conclude, I really want to stress out that we have a great clinical and preclinical portfolio. We will have major milestones. Each of our products will have a clinical outcome in the 18 to 24 months. This is, I think it will be a key innovator in immuno-oncology. We are confident that we will deliver the strategy and we will create significant value and improve the options for the patients. So thanks again for your time and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining today's conference. You may now disconnect.